I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Earlier this month, we did an episode on indentured workers in the Caribbean, in particular, Irish indentured workers. And in that episode, we made some references to other aspects of Irish history, including the famine that struck Ireland in the 19th century after a blight that killed the potato crop for multiple consecutive seasons. Since we really couldn't get into the details of that in our July episode, but it's relevant to the greater story there, we thought we would bring it out of the archive for the next 2 Saturdays.
This episode originally came out on June 17th, 2013. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
Holly, can I tell you a story?
Please do.
When I was little, we learned a history lesson about the Irish potato famine. And it was basically summed up as all the potatoes died and a lot of people either starved or moved away. Right, that was sort of the summing up of the lesson.
Pretty much the way I was taught about it as well.
Right, so my little kid question was, well, how come they didn't eat something else?
I think a lot of little kids ask that question.
Right, and so now grown-up me kind of looks back at little kid me, and until I learned the whole story, I was like, yeah, that is a very privileged question, right? Because we were a pretty modest family, and we did grow all of our own vegetables, but we grew a whole lot more than just potatoes, and
right.
We also generally had enough food to eat. But it turns out, why didn't they eat something else is a really, really good question about the Irish potato famine, and that's what we are going to talk about for the next 2 episodes. This is a popular request.
It is indeed.
We've gotten it a lot of times. I actually ran into Katie and Sarah over the weekend, and they said they had also been asked to talk about it very often and that they didn't have the heart to do it.
Because it's not exactly like a fun, jolly joyride.
No, it's one of those things where it's clear from the beginning that it's not a jolly joyride, because about 1 million people died and about 2 million people left their homes and immigrated elsewhere. But it's way worse than just that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of suffering to the story. So know that going in.
Yes. And it's also one that requires a fair amount of background to understand why it is that we got to this point that everyone was only eating potatoes.
Right.
So this is going to be a two-part episode, and the first is going to really set the stage for many of the layers of what went terribly wrong here. And then the second episode will get into how all of that played out in the history of Ireland. So we're talking about the mid-1800s in Ireland. Catholics were really deeply disenfranchised in this point in Irish history. Ireland had been part of Britain since 1800 under the British Act of Union. And under this act, Ireland was granted representation in Parliament, but Catholics were not allowed to be members of Parliament. And Catholics were the overwhelming majority of the population of Ireland. So while Ireland technically had representation in Parliament, the majority of its population were not really represented.
Right. And there had been a number of laws in place restricting very basic aspects of life for Catholics, like owning property and having jobs. And some of these dated back to the 1600s, when Irish Catholics sided with James II in his battle with William of Orange for the British throne. So lots of very old rules and laws and prejudices that were affecting these people in a very real way.
Well, and things that we really take for granted, by like being allowed to get a job.
Yeah.
Catholics were not allowed to do. Most of these laws had been repealed in 1829, which is also when Catholics were allowed to become members of Parliament. But by that point, anti-Catholic bigotry was really deeply entrenched in the Irish culture, and a lot of those past social norms about what people were allowed to do and how they were allowed to practice their religion had been extremely slow to change. So while maybe things were legal now, it still was not really easy for people to do things like get jobs and own property.
And Ireland at this point was also extremely deeply impoverished as a nation. Only about one quarter of the population was literate. And in a theme we've discussed in other podcasts, modernization had really stripped a lot of the working people there of their livelihoods. The linen and wool industries, for example, had been industrialized, and so the people that made a living in those trades suddenly could no longer find work.
In rural areas, large families were living in tiny mud cabins that didn't have windows or chimneys. And most of them were subsistence farmers. Virtually none of them owned the land that they were farming. For the most part, they were overwhelmingly Catholic tenants who were paying their rent to overwhelmingly Protestant absentee landlords who, for the most part, were living in England, not in Ireland.
And many of these Irish families weren't paying their rent directly to their landlords, so there was a level of complexity to it. Much of the land had been parceled out through a middleman system, which had been in place since the 1700s. So a Protestant middleman would rent a sizable piece of land from the landowners, subdivide it, and then rent that out to tenants. And the tenants paid the middleman, and the middleman paid the landowner, and so that inflated the rent. And to raise their profits, middlemen would divide the land into smaller and smaller parcels and raise rent at the same time. So by 1845, half of these little farms were on 5 acres or less, and pretty much everybody had less than 10 acres. Like, they were all really pretty small for a farm.
So to add just another layer of ugliness to this whole situation, a lot of these tenants were renting land that their families had previously owned, but had been confiscated from them following Cromwell's invasion of Ireland in the 17th century. So you have people who really are pretty poor in terms of how much money they have, living on a tiny amount of land, paying inflated rent to people who own land that their own families used to own and don't anymore.
Already very uplifting story.
I know. We'll just let that settle for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And there were some communal aspects to this setup. People often bartered instead of using money, and those who couldn't afford land would often find work with tenant families. And these laborers would help with chores and help bring in the harvest in exchange for being able to build their own cottage and plant their own little garden plot.
And this brings us to the potatoes. Potatoes really thrived in the Irish soil and climate. It was a reliable and pretty nutritious food staple. Although, you know, potatoes get a lot of flack nowadays for their high carbohydrates and all that
right,
kind of stuff.
For being but a starchy food.
A very starchy food. But they have lots of vitamin C, lots of other nutrients. And so people who were living largely on potatoes a lot of times really were better nourished than people who were living mostly on, say, bread.
Right.
So the introduction of the potato had led the Irish population to double between 1780 and 1845. So more people meant that they needed to grow more food. And as the supply of arable land got used up, farms were getting smaller and smaller to accommodate this increase in the population.
And of course, smaller and smaller farms made it harder for farmers to grow enough food to feed their families. So doing this required potatoes, which had a much larger yield than any other food crop. With a good harvest and a cultivated plot of land, a family of six could subsist for a year on an acre of potatoes, including potato scraps that they could feed their animals. And it would take three times as much land to grow the same amount of grain. So enough grain to feed that same family would take a lot more land. So people were planting potatoes because that was the only way they could get enough food. Any other land they rented was being used to keep animals or to grow crops, and those were grown to sell so that they could pay rent rather than eating and providing that for their families.
Right. So potatoes were for eating, and everything else was to sell.
Yeah.
Thanks to this combination of factors, by 1845, 60% of the Irish food supply was potatoes, and the poorest people in Ireland were living almost exclusively on potatoes.
And most people were also planting the same variety of potatoes, which were called lumpers, and they gave a really high yield, but they weren't as nutritious as some other varieties. They'd plant around March and harvest around September or October, and then they could bury the harvested potatoes into pits where they'd keep until around July of the following year. So this meant that July and August were really rough and lean months, even in the best of times. And it also meant that diseases were really likely to spread easily because everyone was planting the same strain of potato.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of diversity to resist pathogens that came around. This also meant that life for farmers in Ireland had some periods of intensely hard work during planting and harvesting, and some spans of relative leisure in between. The potatoes didn't require tons of upkeep. And so even when people were farming other stuff, a lot of times they had a life that balanced hard work with periods of rest. Unfortunately, in many places of the world that were not Ireland, people viewed this as laziness and idleness and shiftlessness, and that may have contributed to some of the reluctance to send help once help was really needed here.
So to characterize the start of the problems involving the potatoes, the Irish potato famine, which is what it's called in the rest of the world, but in Ireland it's called the Great Hunger, or An Gortha Mór, or the Bad Life, Drogheil, started in 1845 when a blight destroyed part of the potato crop.
The blight hit potatoes in other parts of the world too. And it had economic effects in other areas as well, but really nowhere else in the world was relying as much on potatoes as Ireland was. So while the effects were much more wide-reaching in terms of the food supply, Ireland was really hit the hardest.
And this blight started by attacking the leaves and stems, causing them to turn black and rot. And the potatoes would look edible when they were dug out of the ground, but within days they'd turn slimy and black.
The initial response from the government was actually kind of on the ball. The Prime Minister, Sir Robert Peel, sent a commission to evaluate what was going on that October. And the commissioner came back with the report that Ireland was probably going to lose half of its potato crop. The scientific community pretty quickly concluded that some kind of disease was to blame. But the people whose lives really depended on those potatoes, as we said before, not a very educated community, blamed everything from static electricity to fumes from the newly built railroads.
And this was by far not the first potato blight that had ever happened in history. Crops had failed certainly before this, but even a whole season of crops had failed before. But Ireland had never seen anything on this scale, and it had never encountered 2 years of blight in a row, which you can imagine was really devastating.
Yes. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So when Prime Minister Peel made some efforts to send relief, because everybody was kind of expecting this to be a temporary thing that would resolve itself with the next year's harvest, it wasn't a huge governmental response. The general consensus was sort of that things would be back to normal. This was going to be a short-lived, difficult period that would resolve itself in another season.
But unfortunately, in 1846, the blight returned. And to sort of add insult to injury, it was actually much worse the second year. Thanks to the wet weather conditions and the fact that diseased potatoes had been used as seed, it spread farther and faster than it had in its initial incarnation. So people didn't have enough to eat, and they didn't have enough to feed the animals. And hunger-related illnesses like typhoid and cholera started to spread. And since people had been getting most of their vitamin C from potatoes, scurvy also became a problem.
The British government did a couple of things to try to help. Prime Minister Peel pushed through a repeal of the Corn Laws. These were laws that were meant to protect British grain growers from foreign competition by imposing really high tariffs on imported grain. So by reducing the grain supply, the Corn Laws caused British grain growers to be able to get a higher price for their crops. Repealing the Corn Laws was supposed to bring more grain into Ireland and drive prices down, but Ireland and the Irish people didn't really have enough money to buy the grain, even at the lower prices.
That spring, Prime Minister Peel, without going through Parliament, bought maize from the U.S. to be distributed as food. Maize was cheap, but it also needed to be milled to be edible, and there weren't enough mills to actually handle it. On top of that, maize is a very sturdy grain that needed more processing than other grains, so the mills that already were not numerous enough to process it were strained even more because it took more time to process the amount that they could handle.
Once it was milled into meal, the maize was going to be sold at the rate of a penny per pound. But just like with the imported grain, a lot of people who really needed it just could not afford to buy it. This cornmeal was also a lot different from the potatoes that the Irish were used to eating, both in terms of nutrition and digesting it. And so diarrhea and scurvy became really common complaints among the people who were managing to buy this cornmeal to eat.
Additionally, the British grain industry was really angry over both the repeal of the Corn Laws and the import of maize. The Conservative government started to falter, and Prime Minister Peel resigned on June 29th of 1846.
The new Liberal government, also known as the Whig Party, came into power, and it really followed the principle of laissez-faire, which was basically leave it alone and it's going to work itself out. The Liberal government was really reluctant to make decisions that would affect private enterprise. So once Prime Minister Peel was out of office, the British government did not do a lot to intervene in the blight. There were no big influxes of food or monetary relief coming from the government.
This is a concept that probably seems incomprehensible to the ears of a modern audience in a world where disasters lead to immediate efforts at relief. But that's not what the ideology was like in the mid-19th century. And there were private fundraising efforts internationally, notably in major cities in the U.S. and India. Quakers-led fundraising efforts and the Choctaw Indians, recently relocated during the Trail of Tears, actually sent a donation as well. So while there was some international response and some relief on the part of private citizens, it still just was not enough.
Under the new Prime Minister John Russell, famine policy fell to Charles Edward Trevelyan, who was the Assistant Secretary of the British Treasury. He had been involved in the famine response during Peel's administration, but now he was basically running the show. He ordered an end to the sale of maize, and he rejected an incoming shipment of it, saying that he was going to try to prevent the Irish from becoming dependent on government handouts.
Apart from the laissez-faire principles under which the Whig Party was operating, Trevelyan himself had a belief in divine providence, which also influenced his hands-off approach to the whole situation and the famine.
Everyone was sort of working under the assumption that private citizens were going to step up and provide relief, and that Ireland could use its tax revenue to fund public works projects that would employ Irish farmers. The farmers' income would be taxed, and that tax money would fund more projects in a cycle that would pull Ireland up out of poverty. But the Irish government didn't really have enough money to start with. People's wages were too low for income tax to keep up with the need for government spending, and also really too low for people to actually meet their own daily needs. So in addition to they weren't making enough money to buy things, their wages were not enough for the tax revenue to be adequate for the government. So what happened instead was that public works projects were flooded with way more workers than they could possibly use or pay.
And so that's where we're going to pause on this part of the story. So we're leaving at 1846. Ireland's situation is extremely dire, and Britain has taken a largely hands-off approach to mitigating this crisis.
So in the next part of this episode, we're going to pick up in 1846 and 1847 and tell how the rest of the famine unfolded in Irish history. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday. Since this episode is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar over the course of the show, that could be obsolete now. Our current email address is historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Our old How Stuff Works email address no longer works. You can find us all over social media at Missed in History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.